Whether it's vehicle technology or supply chain disruptions, the aftermarket is shifting fast. Stay competitive at Apex in Las Vegas, November 3rd through 5th. With global sourcing, hands-on training, and networking, the Apex difference is real. Learn more at apexshow.com/podcast.
Some days you just want to amplify your everyday look. Like when you want the look of false lashes without the extra effort. Reach for Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Volumizer Mascara. Or when you want all eyes on your smile, keep Empower Gloss Ultra Glossy Lip Serum in your bag. It's a burst of 24-hour hydration that smooths like a serum, shines like a gloss, and can be worn sheer or layered. You'll always look and feel your best with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. My name is Dallas.
And I'm Madison.
And today we have with us one of the funniest and coolest authors that we have seen online, Miss Laura Bishop from the dark rom-com Love Me, Stalk Me. Hello. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm fangirling so hard right now.
Oh my God, stop it.
Like, this is wild.
I'm literally just a girl. I tell that to people all the time. Someone recognized me at a Starbucks the other day and asked to take a photo with me. And I was like in basically this, because I wear the same clothes like every single day, basically.
But
like, and I was like, you want to take a photo with me? Like, are you sure? They're like, if you're not comfortable, you don't have to. I was like, no. I literally don't care. But like, why? Like, I'm literally just a girl. So don't fangirl. It's totally fine.
Literally just a girl. Just a girl who wrote a really awesome book now, right?
Well, thank you. Yeah. Two books.
Madison and I had fun the entire time. I read it first. And then I was like, girl, you have to read this. And then we saw your profile and all your fun videos. And I was like, Madison, you have to look at these things. And I just watched them all the time. I'm like, wow, what's she doing today? I'm like, what am I doing today?
Literally. On my radar. And then Dallas is like, you should read it. And I was like, let me look at this book. Because like, this looks right up my alley.
I'm glad.
It was so good. So I do want to hear a little bit about your inspiration for the book. How did you go from being just a girly to writing one of the funniest books you read all year?
Yeah. So I like to tell people, because it's very honest, like it truly is like my trauma as a woman. And like, I had this compulsion to write this story. Like, I can't even describe it to you. I just had to write it. I like sat down one day and I wrote it very, very quickly. And I didn't have like a plan. I had like no plan whatsoever. It was funny because like when we had, I think it was like Publishers Weekly, they like submitted it to publish, like the publisher, Publishers Weekly. And like the person that ended up reviewing it was 100% an old man, because they like, you can just tell like by the review, right? He like tore it to shreds. And he was like, oh, and like the plot twist was like, so like, I knew it like so early on. And I was like, well, I'm glad you did. Cause when I was reading it, like, I had no idea what was going to happen. So yeah, it really was just like my trauma story. I hate to say that, but it's so true. So much of myself is like Izzy, and like coming to grips with like being comfortable and like who I am as a woman, like extra skin that I have, like my weight, like not feeling like I'm thin enough, not feeling like I'm pretty enough, like trying to process that, trying to like get myself to a place where like I could be in a relationship that honors and respects who I am as a woman and not shrinking myself down. And so, yeah, it's just a lot of like my trauma.
I just got real serious. that's okay. You know, I feel like it's so special that we have this platform to give to authors to be able to come on here and feel comfortable to be their real selves, and also, you know, bring to light that it's okay to not feel 100% comfortable in your skin. And it's okay to feel the way that you feel, right? Like, it's 2026. Yeah. And I think that all three of us, we, you know, we're raised in a generation where body issues and looking a certain way and acting a certain way and being a certain way was shoved in our faces on a regular basis. So much.
Like, and also being a certain size, right? Like, it was so funny because, like, I was watching the Top Model documentary the other night, like, last week or something.
Awful.
I'm behind on everything, right? And I remember watching that show as a young girl, right? And, like, looking at these girls and then having them be told, like, they're too fat. And I was like, and you look at it now and you're like, oh my God, like, I'm so messed up in the head because of that. Like, that's what I was exposed to, right? So, yeah.
It's hard to get out of that kind of mindset. Like,
But it was, like, so much about, like, trying to also, like, write a way that, like, women might read it and, like, encourage them to be like, oh, like, actually, like, this is what I should be getting from my relationship and I should be getting from my partner, right? Like, and I should be with somebody who, like, builds me up and doesn't make me feel bad about myself for being just myself, right?
So, wrote a lot of iconic lines that I will be bringing up in the near future.
Okay.
Because a lot of it, I was like, yes, I need this on a wall.
So speaking of writing the book and going into it, the book itself had a lot of text messages, right? Which kind of went along with the plot itself of, like, you have this, the AI boyfriend, and you're talking to him and you're chatting. Was that tedious to do, or was that easier to do as an author writing a book?
Yeah, it was so much easier. Like, actually, like, writing the text chains were really fun for me. Like, I really enjoyed writing the text chains because you're not worried about, like, the filler of, like, what the person's thinking or what the person's reaction is, or making sure that, like, you're grounding people in the setting, right? Like, all of that type of stuff. Like, you can just have a conversation back and forth. And actually, like, a lot of, like I was saying, like, a lot of the book is, like, my life and my inspiration, that, like, that's where it kind of comes from. And so I, like, screenshot a lot of text messages, like, convos that I have with friends and stuff like that. And I'll screenshot them and I'll save them in notes so that I can go back and actually, like, incorporate stuff like that from my life into my books. So it's, like, for me, it's just fun. And it's, like, a fun way to, like, bring back old conversations that I've had with friends and stuff like that. So
in your book, there is a lot of detail, specifically when your character, your FMC, is at dinner with her family. And I had the best time reading about that because family dinners were, like, not something that I did growing up. Right.
Okay.
And so when I read about, like, family dinners, I was like, wow, they're all together. And it felt so personal and so detailed. I was like, this has to be from a memory. Like, this cannot be fake.
Yeah. So on my dad's side, my dad's actually from Italy. Mm-hmm. And so I have, like, this very large, boisterous Italian family on that side. And so, like, holidays especially, like, are always like that. Like, you know, and we have these, like, massive meals and everybody's just loud. It's just really loud and it's chaotic and it's just silly. And it's so funny because, like, as a kid, you don't really appreciate it. But then when you look back as an adult, you're like, and things are a little bit quieter in your life, you're like, I actually do kind of, like, miss that time in my life. And so it was just kind of, like, bringing all of that back. Like, the Nana, like, she, my Italian grandma, I mean, we literally called her the Italian grandmother. Like, she did not speak a lick of English. Didn't speak Italian growing up. Like, I always wanted my dad to teach me. It just never happened. But so, you know, we just kind of communicated the best the best that we could. But yeah, that's all definitely, like, real life inspired. So
then I do have to ask, are the Pomeranians real? Was there really dogs with those names?
That one I'll leave up to imagination because I don't want to ruin it either way for people. So I'll leave that one up to imagination. Yeah. Lady Gaga and Tony Soprano.
So cute.
I did meet the actor that played Tony Soprano. Was I in high school at the time, I think? And my sister was getting married and she decided that we were going to do the Filene's Basement running of the brides. Do you guys, like, remember that vaguely? Like, they don't, like, I mean, Filene's doesn't exist anymore. I might be aging myself. But, like, there was this, like, so there for those who don't know, there was a store called Filene's that was, like, a very prominent department store for a very, very long time. And they had, in Boston, they had this, like, very large, bridal store for Filene's. And so, like, once a year, they would put these dresses on, like, crazy discount. And so then, like, these women would come and they would line up. And it was and they would open the doors and it was this big spectacle because it's like, all these women, like, running in, right? And like fighting over dresses and stuff like that, right? And you're just trying on the dress like in the middle of the store, like sort of crazy sort of thing. And I don't know, they were filming it and the actor for Tony Soprano was like, was the actor that they got to like follow this one little blonde chick around like for that running of the bride. So I did meet him. He did seem kind of like an asshole, but you know, I never knew him in person. So
she was like, he's kind of a dick. It's fine.
I just like that. I mean, I don't know. You never know. People are in performance. Like people say that about me. People say the wildest stuff about me because I'm online now. Right. And so
really?
It's just, you know, oh yeah. Like the comments that I get, it's fine. I'm writing book three right now and we're incorporating some of them into book three. It's fine.
Oh, all right.
So be careful. Yeah.
They say all press is good press.
Screen names included. No.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I want to stay on the topic of the dinner because I also just found the conversations very funny. So one hot topic at dinner was the fact that one of Izzy's brothers is arguing that it should be socially acceptable to eat soup for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any non-traditional food that you think should be consumed during breakfast?
That should be consumed during breakfast, like should or just you would, right? Because I'm very libertarian. I'm very like anybody can do anything they want, right? I don't like it when people, I call it like shitting on me, like I don't want you to shit on me, right? But like, I mean, yeah, like I'd have a miso soup for breakfast. Why not? I mean, that would be good, right?
That'd be refreshing.
You know, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I am definitely not the right person to ask about diet advice because like, I went to Pilates today and I talked to the instructor there because they always ask me, how's your body? And I'm like, yeah, I've been kind of like blacking out lately a little bit when I stand up for like a significant period of time, not just like a little bit of a blackout, just like a good, you know, 10 seconds where I'm like, oh, I got to hold on to something. And they're like, okay, Laura, so like, what did you eat today? And I was like, an English muffin.
Great question.
And they're like, and I was like, that's it. So I'm the wrong person.
I feel like forgetting to eat is like a pastime for me, like on a regular basis.
Oh, really? See, I never forget to eat. I just like I'm always thinking about food. Like I like truly my first love is food. Like I'm always thinking about it. Then I just like don't sometimes. Like I don't know. It's just a weird thing. As you can see in the book, I have a very weird relationship with food. So
also fair. Yeah. I feel like I eat and then hours and hours go by and then all of a sudden I'm just a raging bitch for no reason. And I'm like,
I'm just a raging bitch normally, so I have no excuse.
We need it on a t-shirt.
I'm actually just always a bitch. I'm just always a bitch, honestly.
Yes. I need it right on a hat immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be hilarious. But yeah, I found that conversation very funny. And whenever I thought about it, I was waiting for the brother to make the same point. But I was waiting for one of them to say, what is soup, but just not hot cereal?
The soup versus cereal argument.
Yeah, because I was like thinking about it because I'm like weird, but I was like, wait, is cereal not just soup in its own sense, but just cold?
The cereal versus soup argument. Yeah, cereal is soup, right? I actually feel like I have characters fight over this.
Sick.
We're going to be reading many months from now and be like, oh, there it is.
There it is. Yeah.
There's the argument.
Hold on. We'll just do it right now. I'm going to look in because I'm working on book three right now. I'm 53,000 words in right here.
This. Just go ahead and turn the camera
like
right
a
around.
Total spoiler. Cade's grin is enormous. And what was he so catastrophically wrong about, Jake? I keep my voice even. He said cereal is not a soup. Cade stares at me. It is, objectively, a liquid-based dish with solid components served in a bowl. I continue. The definition holds under any reasonable culinary framework. He had no counter-argument. He was just wrong, and he was comfortable with being wrong, which I found disrespectful. It's not soup, though. I pull my handgun from its holster and make a point of flagging him with it.
I love that.
Iconic. Yeah,
we pulled guns over it. Yeah.
That is, I found it disrespectful.
I mean, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Amazing.
We'll see their book three, raw, unedited.
Yes. You heard it here first on the Goodish Girls.
That's right. Yeah.
So funny. Well, aside from soup debates, I also need to know, according to everyone, Izzy is a notoriously bad driver. And this was one of my favorite chapter names, but you literally named a chapter. Well, parallel parking nearly killed me, but I'd die for her. And I was like, honestly, that's really romantic. So first question I want to know is, was Izzy's driving based off of anyone you know's driving ability? Okay.
All right.
Well, are you calling her out right now?
We got to talk about this, right? So I think that I am a very good driver. Okay. All right. I think that I'm a very good driver. Now, this book, like a lot of things in this book, like I manifested into reality, like in my own life. And so towards like the, just before the release of this book, I got a new car, and it's a big car. So it's a big white SUV. And I was used to driving like this little small, like Jeep Cherokee. And I feel like, I will admit to this, like, it's a big car. Okay. And so I feel like I'm like, okay, I could see maybe that like maybe my driving has gone down just because it's such a large car. But one of the bikers that I'm close friends with, like, I just think he like glommed onto this. And like every single time that like we get into the car and I'm driving, he's in the backseat being like, God damn, Laura. Like, we're going to die.
No.
Just bracing the wall. Like,
yeah. Like, if I have to stop short or something like that, like, you know, and that happens sometimes, okay? Or, like, someone in front of you, right? Like, it's not me. But, like, he'll be in the bag being like, oh, my God, I almost died. So, and I asked it very legitimately. I was like, do you actually think that I'm a bad driver? And he just looked at me and he was like, yes. And I was like, but I don't know if you're being truthful or not. So jury's still out.
You know, is your driving getting worse, or are you just like growing but differently, right?
Yeah, maybe I'm just like becoming more self-aware, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I am
mastering
therapy,
the SUV.
Like, I can accept that, like, I have things about me that are not perfect, right? There's not that many, but I can accept that there are single digit number of fits on one
for
hand.
Sure. A thing maybe.
Just kidding. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never been in an accident before, like, knock on wood, right? So I feel like there's things going for me, you know? And I learned how to drive, like, clutch, like stick shift on a 1985 Alfa Romeo Spider, which is like, nice. I mean, in that car, like, you know, I mean, wasn't easy to drive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like I have some things going for me on the driving side.
Yeah. Maybe he needs to learn like a breathing technique or something so he can calm down.
Yeah, honestly.
like some Mentol back there, like some stress candles or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. Honestly, I'm 100% around blaming the men. It's definitely his fault, not me. It has nothing to do with me. His anxiety.
You keep choosing to get in the car.
Honestly,
but then you keep blaming
me like the rest of us. Come on.
We're going to meet him one day and he seemed like, I actually hate you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. He does like totally, truly hate me.
He might watch us and be like, you guys are the worst.
So on the topic of bad driving, we're going to have a little bit of a battle of the bad drivers. So who do you think would be the better parallel parker between Izzy and Joe Jonas?
I've never watched any Joe Jonas like parallel parking. Does he suck at parallel parking?
Is he a bad driver?
I've never watched
it. He got dragged so hard because I think a video of him leaked to where he could not parallel park. And so I think he literally had one of his security guys parallel park for him because he could just not do it.
Just couldn't do it. No, I am a good parallel parker. There was like one time where I was driving up. It was like, this was like back in the day. And I was driving from where I was living at the time, which was in Virginia, all the way up to Halifax, Canada. And I rented a car and I drove all the way up there because like trying to get out there and like the flights and stuff. And I was like super poor. So in my head, it was cheaper to rent a car and drive it like 24 hours up to Halifax. I got like this little Honda Accent, which is basically a step above a golf cart, like, you know, and I'm just driving it like 24 hours. And but I will tell you, when I got into Halifax, that thing, I parallel parked that in between two cars on like the steepest, like 45 degree hill. Like there was it was not a parking space. It was just extra room between two big cars. And I was like, I got this. So I feel like now with the big ass SUV, more difficult. You know what I mean? They should really make cars like have like a mode where you can put the tires like fully.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, you know, agreed, like the cruise ships with the thrusters, and they just turn it and you just,
yeah, it goes go like in. Sideways. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like why would be nice. Not already an invention. Yeah, honestly.
Exactly. I mean, I have an older vehicle, but I feel like it needs like what the Teslas do, where it will parallel park for you.
Oh, for you.
Mm. Like you just,
yeah,
hands off. You know, I love that you are a good driver, and I love that you're like, I'm a good driver. I personally am a terrible driver. I'm a bad driver, and that is okay. I have accepted that. And you know what?
Accepted it. That's fine.
Yeah. If you don't like it, don't ride with me. And you know what? I also love more than driving, being a passenger princess. Mm. I don't want to drive.
See, I don't know. I get anxious. I get anxious.
That's fair. If we ever drive, you can drive. I will be passenger princess. We'll be fine.
I'll be in the back. I'll be like, you guys are doing great.
I did have this one friend, like thinking back actually, like to what inspired the whole driving thing. I did have this one friend I remember like back in college, and I went to go visit her in Boston, and she did not have her license for like the longest time. Like I think she was like 27 or 28 by the time that she got her license. And I went to go visit her in Boston. She had finally gotten her license, and we were going to the beach, and she was driving, and I was holding on to that handle. Like I can't even, like, I think that that's actually like who I wrote into it. And there was a line in there specifically where like Cal's like you almost killed that guy. Like you just cut that guy off. And she's like, it's just, don't worry about it. It's like, he's fine. Right. That happened with me because in a different context, but you know how like when there's like a line to go for an exit, right? Like a giant ass line that's like hours worth of traffic because everybody's trying to go like, you know, on a holiday weekend for that exit, right? She cut off the entire, like 2 hours worth of traffic. Like she just cut in. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to die. Like someone is going to come out of their car and kill us. Okay. And she, and that's when she was like, she's like, don't worry about it. It's fine. We're going to be fine. So yeah.
And you were fine, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still here. I am still here. Yes. Yeah.
Everything's fine. You were totally right.
Yeah. Everything is fine. Yes.
That's so funny. So I kind of want to circle back a little bit to the actual chapter names because they are absolutely iconic.
Yeah.
And hopefully everyone that's listening to this episode has read this book and actually seen these chapters, but I picked some of my favorites.
Okay.
And the first one is She Licked It and I Saw God.
That's a classic.
I need it on a sticker. Like I need it in merch, right?
We should do that for like, we should do stickers of the chapter names.
That'd yes. Stickers of the chapter names. Fabulous.
Yeah.
I would buy them for sure. Pasta so plus existential dread. They go hand in hand.
That was a fun one too.
So that's amazing. Yeah. And then my third favorite one was I Say Good Morning, She Sends Filth.
Yeah. Yeah, I rewrote a lot of the chapter names. Like I like it's like two or three times that like I go through and I let it sit for a little while. And I did this with book two as well, because I did this with book two as well. But like my sort of like placeholder chapter names that I'll do in the beginning, I'm like, they're not, as I'm writing the book, I'm like, they're not quite what I want them to be all the time. And so then I kind of like get through the whole book. I'll sit there with the chapter names and stuff. Like some of them, like, like spot on, like right at the beginning. I'm like, oh yeah, like this is the one. But yeah, other ones, like I kind of sit on them for a little while. And I'm like, no, I want something funnier. And then I come back and revisit it.
What made you get that inspiration to begin with? Because, you know, it's like either like chapter one, chapter two, or, you know, if it's different POVs, it's like now you're chatting with this person, right? Like you have some of those, you have a couple of those in there. But
now chatting with Cal.
These need to be funny.
Like, so like the thing about me is like I want to be different, like to a fault. Like I want to be that special snowflake. Like it's like full millennial, like I must be special and different. And it's just like I'm also like super, as you can probably tell, like quirky. And so I just like, I don't know, I just found it always like so boring that like chapter names, like there were no chapter names, right? Like I just found that boring. And so I was like, I don't know, it would just be like a fun thing to do it. And like my actual like initial, because I didn't think that this book was going to get picked up for trad. Like I thought I was just going to like indie publish and, you know, and publish it that way. And my original like, so I did like all the design work myself, like originally, and the way that the chapters like in the printed version are, like Atri actually kept that. Like that was me like making these little icons. Like I made all of those like through Canva and stuff like that.
Cute.
So it truly was like a labor of love. But my original design was actually to, for like all of the chapter headings, was to do like a background of a phone so that you would actually like that the chapter name would be like a drop down notification of the chapter name. And then you would see like how many unread messages you had kind of like off to the side.
Oh, that'd be
like
cute.
That. Like that was my original concept. Yeah. But I mean, like, I mean, and I still have the original concept and stuff, but like, you know, certain things like just, it just gets too complicated and stuff. But yeah, that was just like kind of my thinking with it. I love the creative aspect. So like once I write the book, then I love like playing around with like the design and the cover and being like fully integrated in all of that. And I think that's like what gives my brain a little bit of like time to rest between like writing books. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Like I love it. Kind of pivoting. I know Madison had mentioned this earlier, but the twist in your book, I know that old man that read it way back when saw the twist coming. I think he was lying. Yeah. I think he lied out his ass. Yeah. But I did not see the twist coming.
All men are liars. Psalm 116.
Just saying. Preach. Right. When I was reading it, I was like, like, he's, you know, he's not into her, like her original boyfriend. I was like, he's not into her. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird that he's not just leaving her. I was like, that's interesting. I was like, he's definitely cheating on her, right? Like, he's doing something. He's doing something besides just hanging out with his bros. But when the twist came out, I was like, what? Really? So I love a little refreshing plot
twist. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. But I'm such a pantser. Like, I don't have a plan for what I'm doing. Yeah. Like, I even like posted a story a couple of days ago where I was like, I posted like the word count. I think it was like 40,000 or 45,000 words in book three. Mm-hmm. And I posted like the word count and I was like, oh boy. I was like, I am at like 40 some thousand words and these two characters have not even touched yet. Like, they've barely been in the same room together. Like, I'm telling you, I have no plan. I have zero plan.
Yeah, we're just writing.
I just write. And I like that, though, because it's just like, it just feels so much more organic. Like, I don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. I don't have to feel like I'm like, beholden to like a word count, you know, like I just write and I let the story and the characters kind of like take me where they want to go.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to, you know, make the book what you want it to be. So,
yeah. Especially because I'm absolutely for that. Personal. Like, I couldn't do it any other way, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, my publisher is amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. So, like, and I just make a lot of jokes, but I feel like at my own expense. But I feel like they're probably like, oh, my God. Like, what did you do? Like, she's like, because, like, I'm so obstinate about everything, right? Like, they're like, do you want to, like, maybe do this? And I'm like, no.
No.
No. So, I'm like, I love you, but you know, I'm just the worst. I feel like I'm the worst. I'm terrible to deal with, right? So,
I mean,
they're all great.
You have your own voice, and I love that. And I feel like at the end of the day, they probably appreciate that as well, right? And I know your readers also probably appreciate that as well.
That's good, yeah.
Right, because then it doesn't sound
like you'd appreciate it because that's what keeps me employed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So since you're writing book three, in book two, can we expect another sort of type of big plot twist at the end?
Yes. So like there's definitely like thriller aspect to these books, right? So it's like suspense, like, you know, and it's got like the romance and stuff. And then obviously, so like the blurb for book two kind of gives it away. So if you really like don't, not like, there's like another plot twist that's more like specific to the plot and not to the romance, right? Because like generally when you have romance, you have like the romance plot and then you have your subplot of like the actual actions and stuff, right? And so there's a twist in the romance, obviously, and then there's a twist in the actual subplot itself. Mm-hmm. And so if you wanted to be like fully surprised, right, like on both, you wouldn't read the blurb for book two. You would just like go in completely blind, right? And then you might be sort of surprised by the plot twist and or like how it comes out. But if you read the blurb, like you'll kind of already know. So
All right.
Whenever I read the blurb for book two, I was just like, what?
Huh?
I like low-key obsessed with book two. I mean, like now I'm writing book three, so I'm really, really obsessed. Like I get very obsessed over the characters that I'm writing and stuff, and I basically like become them in a way. But writing book two was really cathartic for me. It was like I write a lot of my issues into the books and things like that. And I don't think that I quite realized that I was like dealing and processing with these sorts of things until I like wrote them in Amanda. And so writing book two, I had so much fun writing it. And then Amanda's also just like such a fun character, right? And being able to write her, she's kind of like an aspiration. Like we all aspire to kind of be that type of woman who's able to like carry her hurt, her pain, all of those things, like, and doesn't outwardly project it. Right? Like she just, but like she's dealing with all of that, but it's all on the inside, you know? So yeah, I loved writing book two. Yeah. I'm like sad because like I can't rewrite it. It's like for readers where they're like, I'll never like read that book again for the first time. Like it, I get that with writing, you know? I'm like, I'll never like write that book again for the first time.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to say, don't worry. This is what I told my publisher on the last call. They were like, you know, because they were asking me to, they were like, why do you come up with this stuff? And I was like, it's the trauma. And I was like, don't worry. Yeah. I have a lot of it. I have a lot of it. Okay. So like, I've got plenty of ideas. I've got, there's
many books.
A lot of material up here. Yes. Don't worry.
Yes. Yes. Don't worry. We're not going to run out anytime soon.
Well, reading this book, I absolutely fell in love with Amanda. I was like, wow, I need more of you. And I'm so glad that we're getting her story in book two. And one of the, she says a lot of iconic things, but one of the most iconic things that I like wrote down, because I'm like, you know what? Yes, you're preaching to the choir right now. But Izzy and Amanda are having a conversation, and Amanda says to Izzy, once they're like talking about Evan, Amanda says, you're realizing you don't need a man to get you off. You're choosing yourself over his mediocre dick. That is growth. That is power. That is breaking free from the patriarchy. And I was like, you know what? You are so right, Amanda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 She's iconic. I love her. I'm trying to like turn myself into her right now. Like for the release tour, I'm like slowly going blonde. So it's a work in progress. I texted my hairstylist today. And I was like, I've never dyed my hair before. Like, never. Like, I'll do, like, a demi, like, all over. Because I'm, like, so dark brown. Right? So I would do, like I've done, like, eggplant hair before.
Yeah.
Which was fun. Like, only in the sun you could see that it was purple. And then I've done, like, a burgundy. But it was just, like, an all-over demi glaze. It wasn't, like, permanent color or anything like that. So, like, it was a very big deal for me to, like, go and try and get, like, blonde highlights. So he did, like, all-over blonde highlights. And
they look good though. Like, they're cute.
Thank you. Well, so like in the beginning, I was like, I don't know if this is right. And then I like texted him today and I was like, I don't think I feel like we need to do more sooner. Mm-hmm. Like we had an appointment planned for like the end of June. And I was like, no, we can't wait. We need to do more sooner. I was like, when can we do it? And he's like, come over whenever. And I was like, okay, say less. So I'm like trying to slowly turn myself into her.
Having blonde highlights is a gateway drug. I need you to know this. You start with I've done this. You start with highlights and then you're like, actually, I need more. And then the next thing you know, by next year, you are platinum blonde. I have done that. I live my best life as a blonde.
By August. Yes. I know. It's like, I can't wait. It has to be like, I'm going to end up with like so much breakage because like, I'm going to be like, we need to do it now. But like the plan is to try and go fully blonde by August. So for the release.
If I could afford to be blonde again, it is my dream.
Yeah.
Like once a month, like $200. It took 8 hours. I have so much hair. Like it's so thick.
Bro. I was so exhausted. Like when I went to the appointment, I'd never like sat for an appointment to get my hair foiled before. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
it takes forever.
I was like, wait. I've been here for 4 hours. Like, I'm so bored. Like, my ADHD was, like, not feeling it, so.
Yeah, it's, you got to bring a snack and hydrate and then have enough conversation in your social battery with your hairstylist and the people around you. Like, you got to plan.
So, my hairstylist, I love him to death. He's this, like, most amazing Armenian man, so he didn't speak a lot of English. So, like, we just, like, he just makes me beautiful and, like, in, like, comfortable silence. I love him, right? And so there's, like, no pressure to talk. He always smells amazing, and he always has, like, jewelry on. And I love that, because then, like, when he's working on your hair, you have, like, this little, like, jewelry. Yes, no, I love getting my hair cut by men. It's probably the one thing that I think men are actually good at is, like, making women look beautiful. I only let men cut my hair. Every time I've had a woman cut my hair, I'm like, oh no. But like, that is my one thing. That is my one thing that I will allow men. That's my one.
That's hilarious.
Then is to cut my hair.
I want to hear some of the other quotes that Mads likes, because she wrote her questions after I did, so I am excited to hear these.
Yes, because my thing is I love a good quote. Like, if majority of my notes when reading is just like, ooh, I like this, I like this, I like this. So the last two quotes I have are both from Cal. One, the first I'm going to talk about, I felt like he called me out a little bit. It's fine. Cal is talking to Izzy, and he says, I think you want to be noticed. You just don't trust when it happens. And I was like, Cal, why are we shouting right now, actually?
Yeah.
You need to lower your voice.
So loud, right? Yeah. Yep.
So I found that one. I was like, it's okay, Cal. Like, no need to call me out as I'm listening to this audiobook in the middle of work. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true, right? You know, like, we all want to be noticed. And then, like, but then we put ourselves down so much. So then when it does happen, we don't really, like, we discount it, right? And I even did this the other day. I always go to Starbucks. I have, like, a couple different Starbucks that I work at. Just in case someone's stalking me, I always like to mix it up. Like, where am I going to be? I'm kidding. But so I was at the Starbucks, and my nails are kind of shot now, but they were, like, looking better that day. And one of the girls came over, and she was like, oh, I love your nails. And I was like, yeah, like they're kind of grown out now, and this one popped off, and, like, you know, and I really need to go and get them redone. And she goes to me, she's like, girl, I said I liked your nails. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I should just say thank you, right? It's like a compliment. Like, I'm so bad at receiving it, right? It's like, I don't trust it when I get it, right? I'm like, no. They're really ugly. Like, they're chipped. Like, honestly, like, they belong in the toilet. Like, what am I even doing here, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just, so yeah, I mean.
Yeah, there's one clip that always plays in my head constantly from New Girl, where a guy is flirting with the female main character of the show and being like, oh, like, you're really cute. Like, I loved hanging out with you. And she's like, no, blah, you're gross. Like, you're so dumb. You're literally so dumb. She's like, actually, no, that was really nice. And I don't know how to handle that. But, like, you're dumb.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Exactly.
Isn't that interesting how that works? Like, universally, a lot of us, like, women do that. Like, when you mention it, like, about your nails, I thought I was like, it's with my hair. Like, when someone says, oh, I love your hair, I always say, I brushed it today.
I always say, like, I washed it.
Oh, I do that.
I was like, I don't need to say that. I could just say thank you, because my hair looks nice today.
Like, yeah, people will be like, oh my God, like, what? I love your hair. Like, what did you do to it? I'm like, oh, I showered. I mean, now technically that is actually the truth for me. But, like, I'm, like, being realistic with you.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, but yeah, right? Like, we don't just say, like, oh, wow, thank you so much, right? Uh-huh. Like, we put ourselves down.
Yeah, but we don't need to do that.
This is why women are not in charge. Like, we put ourselves down. Like, we need to stop doing that, like, as womankind.
Stop making yourself smaller.
Yeah,
so others are comfortable.
Like, own yourself, own who you are, accept compliments, accept people, like, building you up in the world. Like, these are the important things that we all need to do for ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I have one more last Cal quote. And this one's kind of more like funny haha. And whenever I heard it, I was like, wait a minute, why does this sound familiar? So this is Cal talking to himself. And he said, I don't do attachment. Attachment is vulnerability. Vulnerability is risk. And whenever I heard that, I was like, sir, were you in the military or were you in the Jedi Order? Person, but Yoda says, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Are you a Jedi, actually?
It's something I'm still, like, grappling with and exploring, even, like, in book 3. Right, which is this idea, like, another little spoiler from book 3, because it's, like, so pertinent to this conversation. I just wrote this today. So I'm doing, like, a text chain chapter between Raven, and this is, like, she's just venting everything out. She's, like, very, very upset right now, like, in the moment, right? And so she says, like, he doesn't even know who that girl is. No one does. I won't let them, because letting them know the real me is way too scary. Because if they ever learn who the real me is, then they might see me and think, nah. And that's, like, the thing that I'm kind of grappling with, right? Which is this idea of, like, opening yourself up to somebody And allowing them to see you like without the humor, without the like the shield that we all put up, right? Without the self-deprecating jokes. Like, who are you really? What are your pain points really? What are your things that you love really? Who really are you? Opening yourself up to that person and then doing that and having them be like, oh, actually, I don't really like you as a person, and what that feels like, right? Mm-hmm. And learning that it's actually, that's like, and the truth of it all is like learning that that's actually okay. It's okay if they don't like you because it doesn't say anything about you. Like, you yourself are still beautiful, and the things that you like are still beautiful, and the person that you are is still beautiful. And whether or not this person who's come into your life, even if you trusted them and opened yourself up to them, doesn't like you and decides to move away from you, like, you still have you, and that you are enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know it logically, but in the moment it's so hard. It's so hard. And so that's like, I'm still, even all the way through to book three, I'm still working through that specific feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That quote that you just read hit a little too close to home for me. I'm like,
book yeah, three. I know. You're like, we're actually going to wrap up.
Yeah. She's like, cut. We're done. Thanks for joining us.
I'm leaving.
Time to unpack some things when book three comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. Book three is heavy. It's like really heavy for me. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the road to healing, though, is that it's going to get hard first before it's going to get any easier.
That's
so, again, I'm really glad that you are able to, like, put this, like, cathartic method into your books and then be able to make it into something so fun and entertaining and beautiful, right? And, like, again, you know, dark rom-com, but, like, if you're listening to this interview, right, we're really diving into it. In between each one of those lines is something special and, like, some sort of message to help empower people and women especially, which is incredible.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, I just didn't intend, or I like not intend, but like I didn't think like so many people would read this book. And in a way, in the beginning, when so many people read it and connected with it, it was actually quite sad. Like I've said this in a different interview where they were like, how do you deal with negative reviews? And I'm like, what do you mean? The negative reviews that I get specifically on Love Me, Stalk Me are women that have never experienced a toxic relationship. Mm. I'm like, I'm so happy for them. Like every time I get a negative review and I read the negative reviews, they're all like, I can't believe that she was a doormat for so long. Like I would never take that type of treatment. And I'm like, yes, queen. Like, yes. Like, that's right. Like they're right. Like she was right. And she did put up with a lot of mistreatment for a very long time. And really candidly, when you look at abusive relationships that women are in, she put up with a lot of abuse for a very short period of time, considering the length of what most women put up with, right? Mm-hmm. Most women put up with it for their whole life and they never really escape it. There's like a small percentage of women that kind of wake up to it and then are in a position to actually leave, right? Because that's also the hard part too, right? When you're like financially dependent, emotionally dependent, right? You're like cut off from your like, you know, your friends, your family, you might have kids, like all of that is like a very difficult thing and it keeps people stuck, right? Men and women, men and women. So yeah, like, I mean, it's just, I didn't intend for it to be read by so many people. Because it is such a personal story. And I didn't intend to, I didn't think that so many people would relate to it in such a big way that they have, which is kind of an eye opener for me. It's like makes me happy and sad at the same time. And I think that's also too why like I try to like with my content and stuff, like make it like fun and lighthearted, right? Like we have fun and things like that, because it is like showing that, yeah, you can go through these sort of like horrible toxic things, right? In your life, but like you can still come out on the other side and like have a ton of fun. And like that's sort of like the message, I think. So
that's incredible. And speaking of your content and your marketing, what you do is absolute fire. I'm obsessed with it. I want to say that first of all, like on a whole lighthearted note, like moving like in a different direction to bring it back. But your marketing reminds me of Red Bull's marketing. And for those who have never seen Red Bull's social media, they don't ever really share the product, right? Like a lot of authors will share their books, right? Like this is my book. This is a photo of my book. These are the tropes of my book, which I love. And I love that marketing. I am obsessed with it, right? I do it for our stuff as well.
But Red Bull does it differently. They do action, right? Because we associate Red Bull with sports. We associate Red Bull with dirt biking and mountain climbing and bungee jumping and all these things. So instead of showing this is the can of Red Bull, they're only showing people skydiving and people doing all this crazy stuff, right? So with your marketing, instead of being like, here's my book, which again is totally fine. And I do love that.
Yeah.
You're like, here's these awesome guys that and these friends that I have in motorcycle helmets, and we're going to different bookstores and we're dancing, and it's just so fun and so eye-catching. And when I was like, what is happening here? And then I was like, I want to watch your page all the time.
Well, thank you. It is very fun, and it was something that kind of like evolved on its own, and I had like no actual like thoughts or plans that it would evolve in quite this way. And I will say that the bikers themselves are like, they multiply themselves, like, you know what I mean? So it's like I started off with like that. You know, one or two like that I had reached out to and was like, hey, you want to collaborate? Like, I'm, you know, like I'm an author you've never heard of before and doesn't even have a book out, so, you know, like I'm very legit. So that was like fun conversations. Like, I was rejected and not responded to like so many times, like, let me just put that out there. And so it's like one of those things too where it's like, don't give up on like reaching out and asking, and you know what I mean, like in any sort of like sense of the matter, like for whatever purpose, right? Like rejection is just part of it, and I was rejected a lot. And, you know, and but then I like managed to like connect with like, you know, one or two of them. And then like, I remember the first book signing, but it wasn't even my book signing. It was like at Books a Million here in Jacksonville. And they were holding like a romantasy, like after hours event. And I mean, obviously I don't write romantasy, but like one of my friends, she was like invited as an influencer. And she was like, well, you should just come. Like they know about you, your like books in the store. And so I was like, sure, like I'll go. And I asked like some of the boys that were local and was like, hey, do you want to come? And then like, so I thought I was going to have like two guys there. And then like they multiplied themselves. They brought like two other guys. And then like another guy showed up like at the signing. And I'm like, I don't even know who all you guys are. And then, you know, they all took their shirts off and walked in a circle around books, which was really great. And like really started popping things off for us. So, you know, and then it just became like a thing. And like when we saw like how much everyone loved it and how well it did and stuff like that, I was like, okay, we got to keep this going. Right. And so like I just take them with me to like as many like signings that I can. And I very specifically do not, for their protection, like do not tell people which biker or any of the bikers that will guarantee, you know what I mean? Like you don't know for sure like who's going to show up, which I think is also like more fun. Yeah. So you don't know who's going to show up at what signing, how many of them there's going to be. Like, obviously, it can be a lot rowdier when there's like multiples of them. It's been really fun. I enjoy it. I love it too. So like, it's just become a thing. So yeah,
it's super fun. And that was going to be, you know, a question that I had was, I know online some people get them confused with like cosplayers, right? But they're not cosplayers. They are like full. Like content creators who actually ride motorcycles on a regular basis.
Yeah. So they're all like every single one of them is a bike talk creator. They each have their own like social media presence where they actually do ride bikes and you can see their bikes. I literally have like, and they'll send me clips of them riding bikes. Like I have a text message on my phone right now of one of them doing wheelies on a bike. So they are definitely like bike creators. And that was like a little bit of like the controversy that like happened from BookCon, because I brought, how many of them did I have at BookCon? I think I had five. I was supposed to have six, but somebody was sick, so they couldn't go. But I think I had five bikers. And then they begged me to take their shirts off. Like they asked me. They were like, can we please take our shirts off? Like,
I can't.
It's so fun. And we'll put like your art cards in our pants and we'll like walk around and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm the wrong person to ask for permission for anything, because I'll just be like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Like, do it. Like, I'm the wrong person. And Sarah, my assistant, who's usually the one that like kind of reins them in, like she wasn't feeling well. So she wasn't there to also say no. So I said yes. Yeah. And so then that's like where all that footage of them like roaming BookCon, like completely shirtless with all of my swag, like came from. But yeah, they're not cosplayers. They all own bikes. They're like actually teaching me how to ride. So that's kind of fun.
Yay!
When?
Yeah. So they all ride and they're all amazing. And I'm very grateful that I get to collaborate with all of them. They're all sweethearts. They really are. Yeah.
Madison and I's dream, if they're watching this interview that you were doing, hopefully they'll watch it. Our dream is to be in a TikTok with you all. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I'm manifesting us.
Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. Just come to one of the signings. We'll make it happen. It's gonna happen, right?
They're
very up for anything. So
I can't wait.
Like as you can see, I think my new plan with them is actually to bring, and we discovered this at like Kink and Ink at the Dallas signing that we were at, right? So like somebody came over with paddles. So then we got like this whole footage of them like playing with paddles and spanking each other. So that was fun. Sweet. And then they had like a shibari thing, which I'm so upset about that I did not know that they already had a shibari exhibitioner, because I would 100% have had them all.
That's hilarious.
Like, that would have been so funny and tied together for sure. But then they started doing pull-ups on the shibari thing because she was taking it all down, and that was like great. And I was like, I need to like just bring random objects with me.
Yeah,
see what they do with them, like a bubble machine or something. You know, like here, have this. What are you going to do with it? Right. And it just makes great content. So they're very nice. All of them are very, very, very nice guys. So yeah.
That's so cute. Okay. We're going to need their sizes in shirt so we can bring them Goodish Girl clothes.
Oh, that's cool. That's sweet. I'll text it to you because it'll kind of depend on who's going to come. And I have like, usually I don't know with them until like the last minute too, which is fun for me.
That is fun, actually. Makes it way better.
Anxiety. And I'm like, are you guys coming? Like, are you? Is that who's gonna be there? Please, like, I will feed you.
Yeah, literally.
I will feed you. And you can take your shirt off. It's fine. Just let me know.
Yeah. So yeah.
So I want to ask, what is next for you? So we know book two is coming out soon. We know that you're almost done with book three. Do you have anything that you can tell us about book three, or what is your plan afterwards?
I can tell you the name of book three, which is Want Me, Watch Me. And book three is Raven's book. And so we did do an announcement on Publishers Marketplace about like the deal that I signed with Atria for book three. So it'll still be with the same publishing house. I'm very happy. I'm very glad that they want to keep me. They're amazing. And I'm so grateful. Like my editor over there is amazing. The whole team is like so supportive and so amazing. So that's like the biggest thing. And then like right now, because book two is releasing in the beginning of August, like which is Hate Me, Take Me, which is Amanda's story. So that is, I'm kind of gearing up for like the big release tour for that. So it's like the whole first week of August, I'm going to be going to all different cities. It's like a different city every day. And I'm doing like, I have some amazing like co-authors that are going to be hosting with me. So like the Chicago signing, I'm going to be hosting that with Bryn Weaver. So I'm very excited about that.
That's going to be insane.
Yeah, that'll be really great. Yeah. So I'm really excited to have like that support from the author community. And then the whole second week is going to be like all Florida locations, because a lot of the bike guys are in Florida. So it just made sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be all over Florida the second week of August. So that's kind of what I've got cooking right now.
And there's a special date in Florida that is September 19th at 6:30 p.m. at For the Plot Bookstore, which we will be there in conversation with you.
Yes. I'm so
we'll have fresh questions.
Okay. So,
it's going to be the best time. There'll be dancing. We're going to have fun.
Oh, yeah. The guys can't wait. Take their shirts off. It'll be great.
Yeah. The guys are going to take their shirts off. We're going to bring, I don't know, something fun. Bring some sort of item. See what happens.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
So For the Plot bookstore in Orlando. So if you guys are in the Orlando area, please make sure to check that out and come say hi and hang out with us, because that's going to be amazing.
That'll be so fun.
One final question that I had is, for your readers who loved book one, is there still an opportunity to get an ARC for book two and or book three when that process starts? And how do they go about applying for that?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that ARCs are still available for book two on NetGalley. So if they're interested, they can go to NetGalley and look for the book Hate Me, Take Me by Laura Bishop and request an ARC from the publisher that way. I don't have any say in any of that. Like, people have messaged me and been like, hey, can you approve me? I'm like, I'm sorry. No, I don't have any say in that. But that is, my understanding is that ARCs are still available. And so you can apply that way. And I know that the publisher also does like Goodreads giveaways for like physical ARCs. So look, just watch for that. Like if you're ever on Goodreads, like put up a notification or follow the book on Goodreads and you might be able to enter to win like a Goodreads giveaway. And I think they give away like 100 copies each giveaway. So it's like a pretty significant giveaway that they do each time.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We had the best time.
I'm so glad. Good. I had so much fun too. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with me.
Yes, of course. We've been looking forward to this interview for like a hot minute. So we were ready. Oh my gosh. We were ready. So if you guys had fun today, please make sure to like and follow our channel for more goodish updates and interviews. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.